This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 8th, 2012. I'm Caleb Brown. Subjecting more and more decisions to the political process, either directly or through representatives, doesn't improve outcomes. In fact, says Aaron Powell, editor of libertarianism.org, it makes our relationships worse by turning partners into adversaries. People get really irritated by politics. On Facebook, for example, behind complaints about candidates, behind complaints about specific policies or dumb things candidates have said, either years in the past or recently, there are also the complaints about the arguments about politics. That seems to be number two behind the actual arguments themselves and those complaints. And you're sort of making an argument on behalf of liberty that is different from other strains of libertarianism, but addresses this issue very directly, the complaint about politics.
I think that one of the things that we object to about politics, even if we aren't necessarily aware of it, and we see it in these Facebook arguments and the heatedness of it, is that politics ends up causing us to behave in ways that we seem both unable to avoid but also recognize as really distasteful. We're not happy with the fact that we behave in these ways. We don't like to see other people acting this way. We get mad about the rancorousness of politics, about the divisiveness of politics, but we seem incapable of escaping this. And I think that the reason for that is not because we're doing politics wrong or because we have the wrong kind of people running for office or we're talking about the wrong issues, but it's inherent in simply political decision-making in and of itself.
Just by virtue of the fact that the government is involved. I mean, I think Neil McCluskey makes an argument related to this with respect to education, which is when you put the government in charge of education, these kinds of arguments are inevitable about curriculum, about what gets taught, about making a one-size-fits-all solution to our education system.
Right, because what happens when you get the government involved or when you allow other people to vote on what sorts of choices you're going to make in your own life is that what used to be just pluralism, you know, if I wanted to teach my kids this and you wanted to teach your kids that, we both could do it. And I may think that your choices are kind of silly, but they're not hurting my kids. Suddenly, if we put it to a vote, what happens is that you and I are no longer just two people with our own views who may interact or may not. It's that we've now become rivals. We're locked into a zero-sum game where either your way is what I'm going to have to do or my way is what you're going to have to do, or is very often the case, some other person's way that neither one of us likes is what we're both going to have to do. And all of us want to be the authors of our own lives. All of us want to have the liberty to choose the paths that we want and we value. And what politics does is forces us to compete with each other for which path we as a large group are going to take. And so it forces us to care deeply about these issues, even the smallest issues, because even the smallest issue is a lifestyle choice taken away from us. So in a sense, what politics does is it sets us up like rival sports, like fans of rival sports teams. And so if your team wins, it means my team loses. Or if my team wins, your team gets kicked out of the playoffs. And so we're rivals in a sense. You get upset and you may be in a funk for a couple of weeks because your team lost to mine. And you may be angry at those other sports fans. But ultimately, you get over it, the next season starts, it's fine, and no one's really been hurt by it. The problem with politics is that the stakes are real. The rival sports fans are hurt now and forever by these decisions. So what politics does is not only sets up rivalries, because rivalries can exist and can be fine and can often be fun, you know, college rivalries and whatnot, it makes us view our fellow citizens who have these minor differences of opinion with us as enemies. It makes us ultimately hate them, which is what you see so much in these debates on the internet, is people taking a small point about whether taxes should be raised 2% or 5% and despising each other about it. Just outright, I mean, it's repugnant behavior, but it's just a natural consequence of political decision making.
So the bottom line here, how we get to the libertarianism, is don't do that, right?
Since this is something that we can't solve this problem of politics by increasing involvement, which would potentially make it worse, by getting the right people elected, by having more informed voters, because the issue is not about information, it's about disagreement. And we live in a society where we have disagreement and we like to have disagreement. We don't want everyone to be exactly the same. That we can't fix these problems in politics. So the only solution is libertarianism, which is removing as many of these questions about our lives as possible from the political sphere, from this method for deciding them based on the preferences of voters and representatives, and returning them to us as individuals, making them personal decisions again. So we decide for ourselves, we decide within our families, within our voluntary associations, we decide in ways that are not political, so that we no longer view our fellow citizens within this country as rivals and enemies, and no longer targets for hate because they can't harm us anymore.
Aaron Powell is editor of libertarianism.org. You can read more of his work there and at cato.org.